Station number 12710, Mr. John Avery, reel 20.
Mr. J. Avery, reel 20. Was there a great deal of destruction as well as bodies around the area?
Well, there was a real lot of destruction because it was like a wheat field and grape, like a tomato field, like and such of that, like, you know. Wasn't a great, you couldn't see much destruction in the field, just over the bridge. There was nothing to say, no buildings or anything being blown up. There was a little farmhouse on the right-hand side, and my memory strikes me rightly, and this one along just for the Stingali. as I say, all that, the fields and the tomato fields and such as that, and along, as I say, there would have been long Stingali, be more bodies in there to imagine, sort of stuff.
You're going to mention Sergeant Pallister?
Tommy Pallister. I think it was Air Company he was with. I'm not quite sure, but I'm not. Yeah, the Air Company or B Company. I'm not quite sure. One of the companies he was with, he was killed in the tomato field. That way, you know, on that side. I knew very well, like, yeah. Tommy Pallister, the great fella. So, as I say, when we picked up the mortars, picked the lads up, and as I say, moved forward to towards Catania, the 9th, the 16th and 9th, like, you know, we went down the street, and everybody started coming out, like, you know. Everybody come running out, like, you know, and everything. And after that, we moved through.
When they were coming running out, what was their feelings?
Oh, you know, English, you know, very evil, evil English, you know, and all this, you know.
They were cheering.
Oh, they're pleased. They're quite pleased, you know. I seemed to, it was all over. They didn't seem to like the Germans, and the Germans, as I say, never liked the Italians, no way. But we went through then, which was a different kettle of fish then. It was just moving on. And through Catania, we're moving through. We got, of course, Johnny Elworth. And we were flooding along this road, and we seen anybody going along and come to this village. We pull up in this village, and everybody come out of this village. From where, I do not know. Bottles of wine, things, and friends, and all sorts. Want to give us. And we wondering what was that really happening, like, you know. And we were trying to make it as any of us had gone. No. We found out we were the first. I said, the journey, I said, there's something wrong here. I said, we've gone wrong somewhere along the line. We were first, and we shouldn't have been, you know. This thing, and this eye tie says, like, you know, after the half an hour or so, it says, the Germans up there, like, you know, big gun. Oh, I said, if it's 88, I said, my little tin can's no good for it, like, you know. So I said, like, no, I said to Johnny, I said, we'll let him move around and don't, like, you know, Johnny says, I will move around, didn't like it, start with panicking, like I said, no. Telling those soldiers coming, like, you know, so we had to go back there. So we just moved back, once we got back, when we got back, we picked up with the thing, then Johnny reported about this, like, you know, and asked us where we'd been. Johnny Tilton, the village, got the map out. Oh, he says, you couldn't have been there. Johnny says, we've been there. They wouldn't believe us. We'd been where we'd been. We'd getting.
You're well forward.
Well forward, right in front. Why, aye. And I don't know if that put any shakes into Jerry, because he didn't come to follow us at all, like, you know. Because we just turned around and steadied way back. Because if he'd shut it off, he could have knocked us out like a tin can.
What were your main problems moving and fighting over the rest of the journey through Sicily?
Well, sometimes you were all right, and sometimes, as I say, through streets and little narrow roads, you got across fields, and you got straight away from your company, like, you know. But as I say, you pulled back, like, you know, you found yourself, you always found a point where you look, as you used to be taught, like, you know, always find a point, like, you know, where you think you're tall building or something like that, or something that was outstanding, where you'd move from.
And that was your marker?
Well, as I say, the power of observation, it was like something you'd think, you know, if you got anywhere near that, you were not far away from.
Were the Germans holding up in some form? How were they doing this?
Spasmodically, you know, like eating, as far as you know, then eating room.
Were you able to get through the roads okay? There was no destruction on the roads.
Well, be honest and truthful, where we got through. And we weren't right through then. After that, it was just a matter of going through. We went right through to Taormina, Mina. Then we come back, and after it was all over, like, you know, we come back to Taormina and rested there for a while, you know.
There's nothing happened on after the rest that of the journey for
no,
you?
No. It was quiet after the rest of that. Was after that was after Catania. It was thing after taking the Catanian aerodrome and all that. It was all to us. It was quiet, but as I say, there was other part of the island, like there was other could have been thing, but to us it was quite to going towards Taormina. I didn't seem to do, you know, the little skirmishes where they had to go, but it didn't seem to be nothing. And got to Taormina, Mina, then we've come back to Taormina, rested up there. Because you could see, from Mina, you could see across into Italy.
And what are we doing? Resting?
Just resting. We'll come back resting, and, you know, the usual things, straight with your guns, clean, carriers all checked over, mortars, ammunition put right again, like, you know, everything without the big thing. That's just me, my carrier had to say everything was, the oil was all right, plenty of petrol in. Grease nipples all had to be redone again, like, you know, everything, sprockets was saved, they were all right, your track fins was all right, like, you know, you got that was the effort you had to go through.
And you had you to do this personally, or was that for the whole crew?
Well, the crew agreed on, but it was my responsibility, the courier, you see, being the driver. I had to go through everything. Clean the engine down, everything. See everything was in good working order again, in case anything did happen, you were there, set again, like, you know, it was, you knew it was going to see you through, which the courier I had, to me, it was a good one. Well, to be honest, the truthful, the two couriers I had when I was out in the desert, and we handed it over in the Fairfield. Was a good courier, saved me through a lot of, you know, difficult times, like, you know, things I can remember after tonight. I remember things that happened in my train, you know, but that courier did me well, and the one I had when I got for the invasion did me well, like, you know. As I say, sergeant used to say, he was a Remy lad. It wasn't a sergeant, just a corporal. He used to say, if you look after you. I said, fair enough. He used to always look after, go through the tracks, like, and, you know, the grease nipples and plenty of greasy and stuff. The wheels, the bogies.
What were the vulnerable parts that you had to take particular care of on a tractor, on a carrier?
That was your engine, like, and the thing in your trucks. There were the thing, because if you got it with your trucks, you were goosed, you were finished. If you got it where your trucks were, you were gone for a burden. But that was there with anything, a tank, if a tank got hit, trucks got it, well, they were disabled.
How did you drive a carrier? What was
the carrier had a wheel, a steering wheel, and turning right and left, you locked you want to turn right, you turned the steering and it locked.
Did it automatically turn with the steering?
As I say, you turned like that and it locked. Once you turned it right, it locked your truck, and the truck was driving it round, like, you know. And if you want to go right just the same, it locked that truck and come back. It was just the same as a car, like, you know. The foot pedals were just the same. And that's all. You had a little thing like that.
Open space.
Space to see through there. And that was
Did you feel comfortable in them most of the time? Were there any occasions when you felt that they were vulnerable?
Other than hitting
tracks, I'm thinking of.
Oh, they were vulnerable any time. Any good anti-tank gun, hit you like that, anywhere you were vulnerable. You were
being open, you'd be vulnerable from anybody above you.
Yes. Oh, aye. Anyway, looking down, and you could easily be picked off. Now, if you were coming along there, and there's somebody who wanted things, you could see you down, could be really. He'd have to be a good shot, like, if you were moving. He'd have a good shot, like, you know. As I say, how many times, as before, we were a carrier, been moving, and he splattered the back, and you could really fling them. That was the only trouble. But if you were a sitting target, you were a piece of cake, sort of stuff. But as I say, in mine, I never regretted driving the carrier.
Did you carry spares?
Yes, so I carried not a truck, pins and pieces of truck, like, you know, and the bogies. We never carried a sprocket, because if the sprocket got it, That was it. That was the driving thing. With the wheels, the bogie. He had one spare wheel for the bogie.
How long did it take the tracks to wear and have to be replaced?
Well, I can't remember ever getting mine replaced, to be honest. The broken pins broken, so you've had to split it off and then run it out and run it back onto the thing, onto the sprocket again and thing, then get it back and get a new pin or a new piece of track yard. If that were it, you take the two pins out, then you paste one up and then you paste the other one back in again. You see, but as I say, for that, they never really. I can't remember ever having a track change, like, you know, a new track. Never, not. It was the same track all the time, like, you know. But
so when the Sicily, in effect, the Sicily campaign was over and you were in rest, about what time would this be?
I couldn't say exactly now. Was it August? Something like that. Because as I say, we were. I wouldn't like to say.
You'd invaded early in the July.
Eh?
You'd invaded early in the July.
Well, as I say, it could have been in August, that way, as I say, I forget dates, you know, never entered my mind at the time.
At rest, did you get any opportunity for leisure?
Well, there wasn't much leisure there. There was bathing if you wanted to, and there was a restriction of going into Taormina. Of course, as I say there, before the war, that was a playground, a European playground sort of time. And there's one or two that the population could speak English, you know. You know what I mean? And there was what they call there, they found out there's one or two loose women, like, you know. So, I mean, which would have been there for the high ties and the Germans, like, you know, but that's why you were, I think you were restricted from going down to Taormina. We could go down to the beach and have a swim, you know.
You were there very long?
No, I don't, it weren't that very long, because it was left there. Oh, we had a speech. We're all pulled up in this, like, a woody effort, like, green and nice and just laid down there. And we got a visit from Montgomery. And he gave us a speech. And he can tell us, like, you know, what we've done. We've done a good job and all this effort. He says, I've just had my eye on a spot, you know. This was in Taormina, like, across the strait there, so where I can put my caravan. That's it. Well, lads, Joe said, here's another working. Another do. I said, I think you lads can get that piece of land I want for me caravan. You know what the lads are agreeing. I think you've had enough. And, you could tell him, you know, something like that. He says, oh, yes, he said, I may want you to go over there and get it. Then he says, I may want to send you back to England. What a shout there was. Right to her, aye. Back to England, shout to her, aye. So, we want a little bit of chatting, like, you know, everybody's effort about the what we'd done and all that. He said, done a good job, and we would do thing. He said, hope to say it would save more of us, like, you know. Oh, I said, well, that's new. Yes, we'll say more of you, Monty. You'll say more of us than we want to say you. So we're going back to a place, a little port, Syracuse. I think it was Syracuse. We were just camped outside of there, Syracuse. Oh, had a little bit of rest there, all right. Some wine, plenty of wine that he got to sell stuff in there. Martini and all that. All that, we had plenty of wine and guitar and playing a few. Cheap, playing, messing about. And as the rumours got around, you know, rumours started to flit around, you know. Ah, we're going back to England, we're going back. I've heard from so-and-so, we're getting issue with Carly. I've heard that tale before, like, you know, all sorts. And then another somebody turned around, ah, we're going over to Italy. I said that, like, you know, most lads said that was more likely, being in Sicily, going over to Italy. Any road. We've been there a few days, like, you know. And you could see where you were jumped on. You see the harbour. And this one morning, one of us says, the ship's going in there. Ship's going in. And all the lads, you know, were looking. There they were. Three or four ships. Well, I'm just saying three or four, there might have been more. I just, Then he said, well, the only supplies coming in, man. But they all turned out to be right. All turned out to be right.
And you went back to England?
Come back to England, I come back on the ship, the old Civerjack. I don't forget it. I was ship's bugler on there, then again. Well, and the bugling out then. So went on the ship, and there was RSM, you would call him Barnacastle. Big bill. Oh, God, the names. Any road, come to me, see the ship's build. Well, I said, did ship build coming out? He said, you don't know, get up. So, goes up to the RSM, ship's RSM. He's the ship's build at Austin. Big Jim Austin, that was him. RSM he was. So, he says, she said, you just stand there. He says, I've got a bugle here. I've got a bugle. And he says, this is Sergeant Major will come and tell you what to do. Standing there waiting, when he comes in, walks in, looks at him. Said, I know him. And he just said, the admin said, I know him, Joe. He says to the RSM, ship sergeant, is he a ship, Joe? He says, yes. He said, nothing to worry about, sir. He says, he's done it. He knows all about it. Oh, he said, that saved me, saved you and all. He said, oh, he did it when he was a sergeant on the Duchess Richmond that went out. And he was Sergeant Major on the Civil Jack when I come back.
That was a calling.
Eh?
What did they call him?
Oh, I couldn't tell you what they called him. I didn't know his name, but, you know, that many years had gone by, you know. I mean, he said, if he'd asked me that maybe a few years after the thing, I could tell.
So was it an eventful journey?
Oh, it was all right. I mean, it was a few go-boat scares, like, you know, dropping a few depth charges or something. I didn't ever realize when dropping them depth charges what the amount of damage they could do. You know, I mean, when you're going along and they throw the depth charge, we're on the subject. Phew, there must have been some volume underneath that water to the ship, a big ship like ours, lifting it up, like, you know. When he dropped a few of them down, but we were all right, like.
Was it a comfortable journey for you?
Yeah, it was steady, yeah. I come back, like, you know.
So when did you get back to England?
Be in about November somewhere. Would be in November, I think. November. Into Scotland, what it's called. The place. Yeah.
In Glasgow? Or
no.
Gordonstown?
No.
And it was Scotland.
Scotland. Of course, as I say, going back there, ship juggler, and the corporal out of the 8th Battalion, he was a juggler. So we shared it, like, you know. So the corporal went on the first night, like, you know, and did the rounds, like, you know, which was not bad. On the calls then, and the officers, you know, half hour dress for dinner, officer dinner call, you know, half hour, quarter now, dress. Yet them, brigadiers, and this corporal let them go, they're like in the first night, and he made a ash of it, like, you know. So the next night I had to go on, like, you know, do the same. Well, I went a piece of cake, like, you know, to me. I'd gone to the floor before, and the brigadier come up. He says, "The wheel," I says, "Bugler every 6th Battalion." He says, "Who's that bugler?" I says, "The corporal out of the 8th Battalion." "And you were corporal, huh?" "Mm." And he says, "You play officers dinner call every night." I said, "That's bonnet, like." I did. I had to play officers dress for dinner every night, because I knew what to do. I'd done it years ago, like, you know. And I got that job. I said, I said, "They might as well go back what belonged." But anyway, I got the pump with that job every night. He was on duty, just the same.
Was this 151 Brigadier? 151 Brigade?
Yeah.
Senior?
He'd be senior. That's what the fella would call him. Was it Ronnie Corn or something? Somebody was saying it, because he took over in the desert, I think he did, as a brigadier. And he was with us all the way through the desert. And not all the way through the desert, but he took us through Sicily, and he was with us in Normandy. Brigadier senior. Funny fella, like. And as I say, it would be him. It was him. And I had to do that job anyway. But as I say, we had a really good thing, because we messed on our own. Like, so, like, you know, we were the best, so really good males. use of this canteen on the boat, like, you know, meaning I had the privilege to go to the front and get served straight away. That was privilege. If we wanted beer, we had the privilege of work going, which I had on the Duchess Richmond. I could walk in front, because the lad used to say, take the bucket and get the beer, like we wanted the Duchess Richmond. And on the shiver jack, we just go straight and get it ourselves. Yeah, that was the privilege we had anyway. When, as I say, we landed in Scotland, and where would we go to now? From Scotland, we went to, where would we go to then?
Did you go to a camp or were you sent on leave?
Oh, we got leave. Where do we go to? I just don't forget now. From there.